Welcome to Studio 86, in-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. Come on inside.
Studio 86, special edition.
On the road!
Yeah, we are on the road once again with the second installment of Studio 86 On the Road, Formula SAE Road to Detroit. I'm Mike Safran, and I'm here with Will Doobie of University News and Lawrence Litchfield, the project manager for RIT's Formula SAE team. Lawrence.
Hey there, Mike.
Good to see you again. We were back here about 2-3 months ago. Of course, at that time, things were just getting underway for the new year and the new car. What's new? What's changed since the last time we talked to you?
Well, as you can see here, we have a 2/3 completed chassis. Everything in front of the rear roll hoop, as well as some engine bracing, has already been, the tubes have been ground, been cut to length. They've been tacked and also mostly welded together. So the car is starting to take form right in front of us.
Yeah, we're looking here. Obviously, our listeners can't see what we're looking at, but we're looking at the frame, the beginnings of the frame.
Definitely. Yeah, no, this is the core structure that the rest of the entire vehicle is built off of. It's 4130 chromoly tubing, and we do all the manufacturing here at RIT. RIT students do it all. We do the welding. We manufacture the jigs, which sort of place the tubes and other important componentry which goes on the chassis. So it's a very exciting time for us.
All right, and lots of work, I'm sure, going on within the, I'm trying to remember if you use the term, the groups, the various groups within the team?
Yeah, no, definitely. We started making the chassis about 6 weeks ago, and the design time leading up to that point was about 4 months. So obviously there has to be a lot of behind-the-scenes design work done, also by students here at RIT, before we can start cutting a single tube or putting anything together. And at this point, that's still ongoing. That's actually our biggest effort right now, is to complete all those designs so that we can start building.
Okay. You've got a couple of your teammates here.
Well, to my left is Andy Cervoni. He is currently the CNC group leader, responsible for manufacturing our more complex parts. And beside Andy, we have Bart Lettenberger, who is the brake group leader and also designing most of our outboard suspension unsprung masses on the F-16 race car.
Yeah, this year we've gotten the addition of a few more CNC machines, which greatly helps our productivity. They're basically automated machining centers. Yeah, with these new machines, we're able to create a lot more, a lot faster. Our older machine, well, the one and only machine we had last year it still is pretty much on its last legs. So these new machines, along with help from the Brinkman Lab, is starting to really produce better parts faster, which in the long run builds a better race car, a faster race car.
Was this a donation, or did you have to purchase this as a team?
These machines that you see here are part of the are still owned by the Brinkman Lab, though we have limited access to them. We have one primary machine that we are working on now, which is a vertical milling machine. There is also two turning centers, or which are fancy terms for lathes. Those will be, training is just beginning to start on those for our other CNC operators, so we can start working on these as well. And if we have other advanced parts, we can also go into the Brinkman Lab and have them assist us where needed.
Andy, for the uninitiated, could you describe the kind of tasks that you would perform on the CNC machines and how that would help in manufacturing the automobile?
A lot of the operations the operations necessary to do them, they involve complex surfaces which can't be done by manual machining. Whereas manual machining in a lathe or in a mill is great in straight lines, spherical surfaces, curved edges that don't have a constant radius, those types of features, you really can't do them very accurately manually machining. So you need a computer automated machining center, or a CNC, computer numerical control, which actually can perform the task much easier, a lot faster, a lot more precisely than any manual mill can do. Basically, it's a fancy word for a robot that can do things a lot better than we can.
Another thing to note is that these, as Andy calls them, robots, they're getting much more advanced. In the ones we've just recently acquired, they have the ability to change the tool which they're using automatically, which means an operator doesn't have to, when they want to change from a mill to a drill to a reamer or something like that, they don't have to be there. They can program that all in, and the machine will do that all for them, which saves, in a complex part, it saves a very significant amount of time, hours even.
increases our productivity. I don't have to babysit the machine like I used to. I can let it run by itself, and it'll finish the part all by itself. Well, I can be setting up another part in another area. So our productivity is increased just by just this one machine itself that we use now has increased our productivity significantly. Parts coming off a lot better, a lot faster as a result.
Okay, we can tell there's a lot going on in here. Should we check in with Bart?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's been very active in the entire design process. We just finished up all our rotor and caliper design, so we're sending that out to get machined. Actually, Andy's been working on the rotors, and then the calipers get sent out to be machined at an off-site sponsor.
Well, right now, currently, I'm doing design work for the outboard suspension components. As Lord stated, I just finished up rotors and calipers for the braking system, and I'm transitioning to more of the outboard suspension components, which involves the uprights and the hubs. And so I'm sure, as Andy had told you earlier, all these new machining capabilities have really allowed me to pursue a much more complex design in those areas, which ultimately will make the car faster. So that's a little coming from my neck of the woods.
We haven't seen the direct results of it yet, but the partnership between RIT and Akuma, which has obviously brought in a lot of new, very high advanced machinery, we're hoping to leverage that in the future.
Now that you guys are sort of getting into the design, what is sort of the timetable looking like where you're going to be beginning to, do you assemble it as you move along, or do you finish the design, manufacture, and then assemble that part, or are there different groups working on different things that all come together at different time periods?
Yes, it gets very complex. Everything's going on in parallel. So, for example, the chassis, all the tubes aren't even done yet, but we're still putting out more tube prints while tubes are being machined and other things. The jigs are being designed as well as manufactured, and there's stuff going on with composites for skins and things of that nature, which will eventually be bonded to it. So there is, everything's going on right now, pretty much manufacturing, design, as well as even for the designs which aren't fully proven yet, we still need to test some stuff, so there's also some testing involved.
That must involve a tremendous amount of management and complexity to keep everything moving together and all the parts moving so everything sort of coordinates together is how things are happening.
Yes, there is. We are always working on managing complexity, both from a manufacturing point of view, from a design point of view, everything. And that's one of the most exciting things about Formula, I think. That's what separates us from a lot of other student organizations, that we do have that level of complexity.
Group leaders have to organize their timelines to better help Lawrence organize the entire team's timeline. So every group leader has what they have to get done in a certain amount of time and what they hope to accomplish, and then it's Lawrence's job to take that information, put it all together into a team timeline of what we have to accomplish.
And what is your timeline look like as far as when you want to start to have the parts assembled? When do you guys have to have everything ready to go to head out for Detroit?
Detroit is at the end of the spring quarter. We're hoping to have the entire car finished by March 1st. And from that point on, it's just testing and refinement, which is a totally different skill set, but equally important in the overall competition view of things. Another sort of level of complexity that we didn't really touch upon is how we deal with our outside sponsors and supporters. Just, for example, Bart's working on the hubs right now. We get the material for those, Aramet, it's a very advanced aerospace alloy, donated to us from Carpenter Technology. So that all has to be coordinated and how it arrives and things like that. And then once to get those actually manufactured, we have to deal with GW List Company. So we talk to them, see how much time it will take to make those. And it's a huge asset of the teams, which also requires a lot of management and oversight.
Project management on top of manufacturing expertise as well.
Definitely. Right.
Well, here we are in December, snowing outside. And of course, we know how quickly the quarter system goes by. Anyone who's ever taken classes at RIT knows to the grindstone at all times during this quarter system. So before we know it, it'll be April, and you guys will be testing the car. The snow will be gone, getting ready to head out to Detroit. Now, I know that as that time approaches, this shop, the Formula team, shop gets very, very active. Lots of all-nighters. Are there some long hours going on now as well, or is that really something that happens later on?
Oh, no. Right now, from a design point of view, these are the longest hours we'll ever see. A lot of people, Bart, who's designing brakes, Charles, who's doing a lot of chassis stuff, Anthony, who's doing a lot of drivetrain stuff, they're all staying here very late into the night and early morning to get their stuff done so that we can start manufacturing it. So definitely lots of long hours.
And we talked about this last time as well, but it's only start of winter quarter now that we're talking to you, and so plenty of time for new members to get involved if there's anyone listening who wants to join the team.
Certainly. We're not only looking for people who want to help build the race car, but also market the car, work with the sort of the artistic layout of things hasn't yet been finalized. So we're looking for any interest from a bunch of different skill sets. Also business, we're working on the sales presentation right now. So yes, there are certainly many opportunities available for prospective new team members.
Great. And what would be the best way? Just come into, we're in Building 9, the James E. Gleason Building, second floor, if you're coming in from the quad.
Yeah, come in any Tuesday nights. We have a big meeting, and then Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, we also have another big meeting. So, but anytime, really, there are people here.
Or they could give you a call or send you an email?
You bet. formula@rit.edu.
Well, Lawrence, I can't help but notice across the way here in the shop is none other than one of your advisors, Dave Hathaway.
Hi, Mike. How are you? Thank you.
What can you tell us about this year's the team itself? Lawrence, as the project leader, I'm sure he's doing a bang-up job. Or the car, what's your assessment?
We have a number of interesting things this year. First of all, the average GPA on the team is up a full point, okay, which I expect real innovative stuff coming out of those younger students who are we've got at least 2 4.0s, I think 3 4.0s on the team. So I'm real excited about their ideas and how they'll progress with the car. On the top end, we've got some strong leadership. Guys that have been around a long time are very familiar with the car and the competition. They'll be leading the team. We're already halfway through welding, so I expect to be on the ground and running early this year, maybe the 1st of March, with a little bit of luck. Just as soon as the snow melts, we'll be starting driver training and testing. So I'm looking forward to a real big year this year.
Okay, and we're all hoping for an early spring with this early winter that we're having, but we probably won't get an early spring. How does the weather affect you guys come springtime?
It has a huge effect in the whole driver training side of things. But even if we have a car finished and if we're still unable to drive, there's always a ton of static testing which can be done, as well as preparation for the non-dynamic events at competitions, such as sales, design, presentation, things like that. So we always find ways to keep busy around here, no matter what it's doing outside.
How about, I don't know if I'm using the right term, but the shell, is that the correct term for the...
The body?
The body, yeah, the body. I should have just said body instead of trying to be fancy. that's probably a little bit later on that you get to that, but I'm just curious, at this early stage, are you talking about color scheme and things like that?
Definitely. We actually... Dr. Dessler took a tour of the shop earlier in the year, and he was very supportive of our change to a more RIT orange and brown paint scheme, which we're definitely going to continue, and then also try to incorporate a bit more tigerization, as he put it. So those are future plans in the making.
We can look forward to some tiger stripes on the car perhaps this year?
We'll see. Stripes, claws, fangs, wow. Something.
How much input does the team as a whole, do people maybe toss out their suggestions on what you should use, or is it just a small group that decides that kind of thing?
No, we'll take some suggestions. It's the biggest factor in the whole bodywork paint scheme is how we integrate all the sponsor logos and things of that nature on the vehicle, because that is a large reason why we get the support we do. And that always has to be kept into consideration. So if there was any limiting factor, it would be that.
Well, we look forward to checking out this tigerization a little bit later on.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Lawrence, thanks a lot for having us back. We'll stop back probably another couple months or maybe sooner than that.
Thank you, Mike. It's always great to see you and Will around.
Thanks all.
Tune in next time for another in-depth discussion from Studio 86. Studio 86 is recorded live in Building 86 on the RIT campus and is produced by RIT University News Services.